Writer Nuala O'Fallon dubbed her first book, Are You Somebody?, an accidental memoir. It started its life as an introduction to a collection of O'Fallon's popular columns for the Irish Times, and eventually went to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. In it, O'Fallon told the story of her difficult childhood and her struggles with the demons that haunted her into adulthood. Now, O'Fallon has written a sequel, Almost There. It is in large part the story of how that first book changed her life. O'Fallon's literary fame provided her with new and utterly unexpected opportunities as she entered late middle age. The success of the first book built slowly. In this excerpt from Almost There, O'Fallon recalls her first TV interview on a hugely popular late-night show in Ireland.
Everyone knows that the razzmatazz entry, the TV host with his arms spread wide and a big smile on his face, the band blaring out a fanfare, the studio audience applauding wildly, everyone looking expectantly at the top of the shiny steps where tonight's mystery guest is about to appear. Everyone knows that that isn't for you and me. That's for Liza Minnelli and Tony Bennett and so on. I stood in the dark behind the set, shaking from head to foot, while the host belted out the words. And will you welcome, please? The floor manager shoved me towards the opening at the top of the steps. Nuala O'Fallon. Another shove out into the lights. I had to walk down the shiny steps, smiling madly, though I could all but hear the audience's disappointed mutter as their anticipation subsided. No film stars tonight, then. The host embraced me and sat me down opposite him, and the camera crept in to take the close-up of me. He leaned forward to begin the interview. "Well, well," he chuckled, not altogether genially. "Well, Nuala, you've slept with a lot of men, haven't you?"
And how did you react to that?
Oh, Lynn, you know, I was stunned. I'd no idea he was going to start off in that kind of snide tone. And I just looked at him helplessly. But luckily, we recovered from that. The audience wanted him to take me seriously, and he felt that in the back of his neck. And it became a wonderful interview, very serious.
You characterised the book as an accidental memoir. How would you characterize its success? What would you call the success that happened? And how it changed your life?
Yeah, it was the success that changed my life, not writing the book. There's an idea current in American culture that if you're unhappy, as I was at 55, if you're trying to sort out what happened, then if you write it all down, you'll be healed. But that's not true, you know. It's certainly helpful, but it doesn't really change your profound self. But to meet the welcome that my book did meet, and to make some money, and to know that there are strangers out there who love you, that's an extraordinary thing to happen to you. And it has changed me, and it's one of the main reasons I've written Almost There, is to talk about the magic that is possible in middle age.
You know, you write early on in the book about what it means to report from middle age, as you put it, and it's very interesting. You say that it's one of the least talked about and yet one of the most exacting times of life.
Well, I say that to me, I'm experiencing it like another adolescence. And what I'm thinking of is the turbulence of the body in particular, that you don't really know what's going to happen to your body next. And it's true, of course, that at this age, nearly everything that happens to your body is a horrible surprise. But funnily enough, I remember that back in my teens, it was like that then, too.
And there's a great awareness of time, though, isn't there? At one point, you write about this man, John, who you're having a relationship with at the end of the book. And there's some problems there because he has a young daughter. And you say, I'd like to say I'll go to Ireland for a few years and come back when she's grown up. But the time for that isn't there, you realize.
Yeah. And of course, it's not anything at all to do with her. She's someone I like more and more. And in fact, I can see that I could love her. It's living with a loving father is very difficult for someone who was not loved by their father. And it turns out that living with other people, an ordinary family life, is much more difficult than living alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this culture, it's supposed to be the worst thing of all to live alone. But I can, unfortunately, intuit a worse fate, which is believing yourself not able or unfitted to live in company.
Well, it's so interesting because I found part of what I found so interesting about this book is your relationship to loneliness, because it's kind of a two-edged sword. On the one hand, you have a capacity that I think very few people in contemporary society have, and that is the capacity to be alone and to enjoy yourself alone.
Yes, and it's perfectly authentic. I mean, I like going on holiday alone. I go to music alone. I go to the opera alone and so on. And I'm amazed when people say, oh, you went alone? I mean, a woman I know said, you go to the opera alone? And I said, but you like opera too. Why don't you go if you've nobody to go with? And she said, because when the lights come up at the end, I think people were looking at me and being sorry for me. That literally never crossed my mind, you know.
At this point in your life, you write about how family and friendship takes on so much more meaning to you, or just you begin to understand the importance of it so much more.
Mm. You know, I really dropped out of community. I was alone for so long. Even when I was supposedly in a relationship, my real life was so solitary that I'm only learning things now that other people have known all their lives. For example, I didn't realize how important friends are. I always thought love was the point, love and passion. But actually, I think that friendship is terribly important. And the successful middle-aged people I know, one of the reasons for their success is a gang, pals, women friends, you know, men friends, people to pal up with, you know, people who know about you and care about you, even though they're not intimates. And I never knew anything like that. And I didn't know either that the family comes back again after the decades when they're away raising their own families, when their own children are grown and gone. Then they turn back in to the original family, or at least that has happened a bit to us.
Yeah.
And I'm glad about that.
You write that a memoir changes its own conclusion by being written. And I can't help but wondering how the conclusion of this memoir has changed since you wrote it. Is it continuing?
You want to know what happened next?
Yes.
As if my life was a serial? Well, I can only say that there are people I am hoping to build a big love with, but they're in America. But my dog and my beloved country and my family and my friends are in Ireland. And if there's some way of building it all up, then I'm going to be one of the very few people who've got happier all their life, starting with an unhappy childhood. I'm going to be so happy by the time I'm old that I'll be, you can hire me out to parties like a generator. But at the moment, I don't know what I'm going to do or what life will do to me next.
Nuala O'Fallon is the author of Almost There, The Onward Journey of a Dublin Woman. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.